Hey, question for you. What causes physical cravings? Huh? What causes physical cravings? I mean, cravings for food. And not knowing you can't eat, knowing you can't eat certain things and you want them all the more, right? Okay, that'll work. Anything else? Hey, you know what, Vicky? Vicky said when your body is lacking something, the truth is a deficiency in your life will actually cause a craving for certain foods. Matter of fact, I think Kim had told me one time that that some kids even like eat dirt. Remember when you told me that? Because of the minerals that their body is craving. It's amazing how God made us, that that our bodies know what we need, you know? Well, you know where I'm going with this. You know, what about spiritual cravings? Spiritual cravings in the Bible are actually called longings. You know, craving is a word more used for you know, a hunger kind of craving, a physical craving. But a spiritual craving in the Bible is called a longing. What causes longing in our life? Same thing. Same thing, a deficiency. You know, that's what causes longing. Kim and I were talking just yesterday. You know, when you begin to feel the longing in your heart for more of the Lord, you know it's a God-given thing, and you know it's His desire, it's His way He made you, so that you would begin to seek Him more, right? You know, I think as I look across the congregation, and I got to tell you, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to know you all, or as they say in the South, y'all. It really is. You know, it's a blessing. I was telling somebody the other day just what a blessing it is to be able to serve for a longer time in a single church. You know, I wouldn't want to be a pastor in some denomination that the denomination comes and moves them every couple of years. You know, that would be a very sad thing. Well, unless they weren't doing such a good job, and then probably a good thing. But you know what I mean? It's a wonderful blessing to get to know your congregation and get to love them, and want for them, you know, the best. Paul had this, you know, a God-given thing from the Lord as a part of his calling, is that Paul had such a great desire for the people that he led to the Lord, or the people that he worshiped with in the churches that he established, that he prayed for them all the time. He wanted their best, you know. And his highest prayer is actually found, Dino's, in the book of Ephesians, when he prayed that they would come to know God better. You know, because when you know him better, you love him more. And what that does is that begins to create a taste that you even want more of. You following me? It's what happens and what we need in our life. Now listen, you who I'm looking at in the peepers here today, I know all of you know the Lord, and I know all of you have been filled with his spirit. And so the word I have to share with you today is for us Christians. Us who have tasted of God's Spirit, who have been indeed truly saved, that is, truly made right with God through your faith that you put in Christ, that you have been made right with God. And as you were filled with God's Spirit. Amen? And so today I want to do something that at first may not seem too pleasant, but I want you to trust me, okay? Mortal last words, right? I want to tell a story about the difference between King Saul in the Old Testament and King David. And I want to use that difference to illustrate something very important for us today. And that importance is that God wants to satisfy your deepest longing. He truly does. God knows what you need. He knows your deepest needs. He knows your greatest needs. And he wants so desperately to satisfy your deepest needs, your deepest longings, the deepest longings of your soul. But today, I hope that we can end with understanding how you can enable, how you can allow God to satisfy that deepest longing. Amen? All right, so I'm going to use a bunch of scriptures, but I'm not going to read through every one. I'm going to read a couple of highlight scriptures, paraphrase some others. But if you have your Bibles with you, you can start by turning to 1 Samuel, because we're going to look at the story of Saul being chosen as king of Israel. Context is a wonderful thing, so we'll give you a little bit of context here to help you just understand what's going on in the Bible. You know, that's really a wonderful thing in regard to reading God's Word, is once you kind of are taught or have studied how the Bible is organized, laid out, and you start to become a little bit more familiar with the stories that it tells, the stories of the Old Testament and the difference between the New, then you begin to have reference points. You begin to create a context for what you're reading, and I believe that that's when God can really speak to you the most, because that's when you're least likely to take something out of its proper context and try to apply it to your life and it not work. But listen, the Holy Spirit who inspired those words of your Bible, my Bible, the Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit that lives in you and is able to speak to you through His living Word. Amen? He is able, very able, to speak to you through His living and powerful Word. So the context of this story has to do with Israel, who had by this time been led out of Egypt, out of that bondage, and finally made it into the Promised Land. And there in the Promised Land, as they settled and prospered, unfortunately, they did not rid the land of all of the evil people that were around them. They still had to contend, like we do today, with people who were worshiping other things other than God. That was their biggest snare, their biggest downfall, is that as they lived surrounded by people who worshiped other things more than God or instead of God, they too felt trapped. They felt prey. They were sucked into thinking that their God was not enough to satisfy all that they needed. And the one thing that they did is they looked around and they saw that all the other peoples around them, all the other people groups, the nations around them that kept plaguing them, like the Philistines, by attacking them, every one of them had kings, but Israel had no king at this time. Or did they? Yeah, I see a couple of smiles. You got that. They did, but it was not an earthly king. Okay, now you're nod with me, so you're following? Yes. But they did not acknowledge God as king. So they went to the prophet at that time, whose name was? The prophet at the time, Samuel. And you remember the story of Samuel, how he grew up from a little boy and became a mighty prophet of God, that none of his words fell to the ground. He was used by God mightily, and he was used by God to speak to the Israelites at this time in their life, when they cried out that they should have a king like all the other peoples that were around them. Now, Samuel felt bad because he felt rejected. There he was speaking God's word to the people. They weren't satisfied. So he took it personally, and he felt rejected. Have you ever felt rejected? I think all of us have, right? We've experienced rejection, and it's not a good thing, is it? Well, Samuel went to the Lord feeling rejected, and now let me paraphrase something for you that is very powerful. The Lord basically said to Samuel, "You feel rejected. How do you think I feel?" Here I led these people, out of their bondage. I've brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey. I have blessed them on every side. And they said, we want an earthly king. He said to Samuel, they've not rejected you, they've rejected me. But interestingly, God said, all right, give them what they want. It's not always a good thing when God says that to you, you know? Whenever we are desiring things that are not of God, that are desiring things that we want more than God. And God says, all right, I'll give them to you. Believe me when I tell you, it's not always a good thing. Amen? So, God, as you know, chose a man named Saul to be king. And he said this in 1 Samuel chapter 10, when he sent Samuel to meet with Saul. It was a funny story how, you know, God got him there. The donkeys got lost. Saul went after him, and he found the prophet, and he thought this man of God, this prophet, could tell him where his lost donkeys were. Well, it was a setup, a holy setup. God does that in your life too, by the way. Yeah, so be careful when you lose donkeys. The Lord might be leading you someplace, you know, to actually experience your destiny. Anyway, he gets to Samuel, and Samuel tells him, you know, I'm going to tell you about your donkeys, but first of all, I want you to know that that's not the reason you're here. The reason you're here is that God has chosen you to be king over Israel. And he says, now here's what to do. He says, you're going to go back the way you came to Gibeah, where there is a Philistine outpost. And as you approach that town, you're going to meet. Now, this is cool when God, you know, just kind of looks into the future and says exactly what's going to happen in your life. He says, you're going to meet a procession of prophets that are coming down from the high places with lyres and tambourines, flutes and harps that are being played before them, and they will be prophesying. You know? So this is what you're going to see. And when you see that, he says, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them. And you, look at verse 6, will be changed into a different person. The Spirit of power changed to a different person. Prophesy. And once those signs are fulfilled, you know, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Powerful word. And by the way, he also says, and then after that, you're going to eventually go down to a place called Gilgal, and you're going to wait there, because I'm going to come down and I am going to offer sacrifice, burnt offerings, and fellowship offerings. But you'll be there 7 days until I come there, and then I'm going to tell you exactly what to do. And sure enough, I remember that part. Sure enough, when Saul turned to leave Samuel, it says in verse 9 that God changed Saul's heart. And all those signs that we were just talking about were fulfilled that very day. And sure enough, when they arrived at that place in Gibeah, the procession of the prophets were coming down to meet him. And sure enough, the Spirit of God came upon Saul in power, and he just began to prophesy. You know what I mean. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he began to speak words that were not initiated by his mind, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Pretty cool, huh? You know, it's an amazing thing that we in the new covenant can have something even greater than these men in the old covenant had. In the Old Testament, whenever God did want to accomplish something powerful through a human, something that required more than human ability, he would send the Spirit of the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord would come upon that person, right? It's, you remember like Samson, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he got strong and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And sure enough, I mean, they knew it. You know, strength, prophesying, the Spirit of the Lord was there. Now, here's the key segue in this story. You ready? You ready for it? Just because the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, or in our case, in us, if we don't honor the Spirit of the Lord, if we don't acknowledge who he is in us, in our case, amen, then we will not accomplish what God wants to accomplish through us. As a matter of fact, we will find ourselves feeling as if God was not with us at all. Am I preaching in the right church? Now, Saul, he did amazing things, just like the Lord had told him. And at first, honestly, I mean, he was courageous. He led Israel into battle. They won victories over the Philistines. But you know what happened? Just as Samuel had prophesied, had specifically, clearly told him. Now, clearly told him. Now, I want to emphasize those words, clearly told him. Now, there are times in our lives when we're trying to seek direction of the Lord and we're not quite sure, right? That's true. This is a time to be honest. But there are other times when we know exactly what we should do, or maybe sometimes better said, what we should not do. You hearing me? That there's no mistaking. This was the case with Saul. So he ends up, you know, going down to Gilgal just as he was supposed to. And by the way, he went there for a reason, because the Philistines had launched another attack upon the Israelites, and they were camped. I mean, there was a lot of those guys, Philistines. They were camped, and I mean, they were a huge army before the army of Israel. Now, when Saul went down there, he waited for Samuel to come, because the word of the Lord was very specific. Wait, and after 7 days, I will come down. I will offer these sacrifices, and then I'm going to tell you what to do, because I'll have a word from the Lord for you. Now, have you noticed in your life, when you have received from the Lord, the Lord will somehow, some way, test you that you to see if you realize he is with you. Some of you are okay with that? And so this is what was happening in this particular case. And so this is kind of a hard word, because there he waited 7 days. And all the while he was waiting, the Philistines were just beginning to form, you know. And really, he could tell that they were preparing to launch the attack. And so what did Saul do? He saw it was 7 days. Where was Samuel? I don't know. Didn't come yet. So Saul said to the priests, bring me the sacrifices. I'm going to offer them to the Lord. And so there, the priests, what were they going to do? He's the king. And Saul that day, you know, he made the offering to the Lord. Wasn't supposed to. And just about the time that he's lighting the fires for the sacrifice, guess who shows up? Who? Samuel shows up. Walks over to Saul and says, what did you do? You weren't here. A little paraphrase there, right? You weren't here. What was I supposed to do? Well, you were supposed to do what the word of the Lord told you to do. What he was very specific. When I was very specific, listen, Saul said, I thought the Philistines will come down against me, and I've not yet sought the Lord's favor, so I felt compelled. That wasn't a very good argument before the Lord. I felt compelled. You ever make that one before the Lord? I felt compelled, Lord, to do that. Yeah, he would say, yeah, you felt compelled already, but it wasn't from me. Samuel says, you acted foolishly. You've not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you would have, listen to this word, church. If you would have, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. That's in there. But. You gotta hate the buts in these kind of stories, right? But now your kingdom will not endure. For listen what? The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leaders of people because you have not kept. Now, you'd have thought Saul would have learned his lesson, but let me just quickly say he did not. The Lord wanted to punish the Amalekites because they were so desperately evil and so wicked and so much hurting God's people that God finally said, enough is enough. I can no longer let these people live. They have not turned from their evil ways. The Amalekites have become such a stench in my nostrils that I know now that they will not ever turn back. They will not turn away from their wickedness, and they will continue to try to slaughter, rape, pillage, mutilate, burn the children of Israel in the fire, the attestable to the Lord. So here's what I want you to do, Saul. I want you to go down and I want you to wipe them out. And Saul took the army, went down against them. God gave him a great victory. But after the victory was over, Samuel the prophet came down. Now, the word of the Lord was, wipe everything off. Everything. And so Saul is there celebrating this great victory. By the way, he celebrated. Now listen carefully to what I'm about to say. He celebrated not only by partying, but by also creating a monument to himself on the top of Mount Carmel. You remember Mount Carmel? It's where Elijah called down fire from heaven, you know? And so there he is. He's won this victory. He set up an altar to himself, a monument to himself. And Samuel comes again. Hey, he says, come celebrate with me. I obeyed the Lord. Samuel says, you obeyed the Lord, yeah. Well, that king over there, isn't that the king of the... Yeah. And what do I hear? It sounds like, What's that I hear? It sounds like the bleating of sheep to me. If I didn't know any better, I think that's what it was. Well, yeah. I mean, they had lots of good stuff. We decided to keep some of that. We're going to, we'll make an offering to the Lord. Samuel says, this is why the Lord has rejected you as king. He looks into your heart and he found you so wanting. Listen, do you know what he said? He said, to obey is better than what, church? What? Sacrifice. For rebellion is like the sin of what? Witchcraft, divination. To obey is better than sacrifice. For rebellion, which is what Saul was doing, he likened to the sin of witchcraft. Do you know the Lord looks into your heart and he knows? He knows. As a matter of fact, it says then, I'm going to go fast for the sake of time because I want to get to these last couple points. It says that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Jesus taught about this too, you know. He said that, boy, you got to be careful, you know, that you get your house all clean and evil spirits come back and find an empty house, right? Remember that story? So the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and the enemy saw God's hand and anointing be lifted. And you know what the enemy does? You know what the enemy does when he sees that God removes that covering from you, takes his spirit from you? He fills the void. And that's not a good thing. I heard over the internet about these kids that are playing this game with pencils, I think it is. It was a teacher that had this posted. And they call on the phone or something. I don't know how they do it. On the internet, maybe a site. And they put these pencils in the shape of a cross, and they ask the spirit, you know, to direct them by moving the pencils. You haven't heard of that? I'm glad you haven't, actually. Oh, you have heard of that, yeah. And these kids are thinking it's really cool to mess around. It's like the new version of Ouija. Some of you remember Ouija? Not Luigi, I mean Ouija, yeah. Yeah. You see, the problem is these kids, they don't realize when they're opening the door in the spiritual realm to that side, what comes out of that side has one purpose and one purpose only. Because its master says, I have come to steal, kill, and destroy, and you're going to do my bidding. You're following me. Evil spirit came upon Saul. This is the same guy who had the anointing of the Spirit of God. What happened, church? Saul did not honor the presence of God in his life. Saul didn't regard it as something special. Saul really didn't even trust that now that the Lord was with him, that as long as the Lord told him to do something, he was going to be successful, that God would be with him, that no matter what, if God said it, he was going to be able to bring him through it. Amen? If God said, wait 7 days till this happens, the sacrifices, and then you'll be directed, God would have directed him. Amen? Same with us in our lives. And the waiting is hard, especially when it comes down to that 12th hour, right? That last moment when you still don't have the answer from the Lord and you're, you know, you're really just starting to sweat bullets, right? And you're saying, Lord, yeah, but the problem comes is when we get to that point and then we ignore the Lord and we take matters into our own hands and we do something we should never have done. Amen? Now, the difference between Samuel or Saul and David was tremendous. Saul realizes the Spirit of the Lord has left him. And now Samuel dies, the prophet. But David, who has already now been anointed as king, you remember how that happened? You know, David? Yep. And then he goes up against Goliath. You want to talk about a man that acknowledged the presence of the Lord. The same thing happened when Samuel, who was still living at that time, anointed David. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The same thing. And David was still a shepherd boy. And as a shepherd boy, the Spirit of the Lord on him, I mean to tell you, you read your scriptures, it'll show you that as a shepherd, when the lion and the bear came after the sheep, the Spirit of the Lord in David, what did he do? That young man drove off the lion and the bear. Don't try that without the Spirit of the Lord. Don't even try that unless the Spirit of the Lord tells you to, brother. Amen? So David, going up against Goliath, anointed with the Spirit of the Lord, he hears the taunts. And listen, you know what was going on. In those days, they believed when they went into battle, it was one God against the other God. Right? So David is hearing the Philistine taunts, and he doesn't care that this guy is 9 foot tall. He says, who is that uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living God? You know that very familiar story of David and Goliath. How he, come on, this is quite a difference, you see, between these two. Amen? Saul gets in battle, knowing the Spirit of the Lord has left him, knowing Samuel's now dead. And now he doesn't know what to do. He tries. You know, back in those days, the priests had a special ephod. Remember I taught about that one time with the stones, the Urim and the Thummim, and they would seek the Lord. And literally, it must have been the coolest thing, that the answer would come in one of the stones, yes or no, would glow. And then they would get a yes or no answer. That's in your Bible. But by the way, that was before New Testament time. Whenever now we have the Holy Spirit to guide us, amen? But yeah, so Saul tried everything. He brought that, you know, and nothing. Nothing, honey. Then he says, I guess I know what I got to do. Now, God had told him to get rid of all the mediums and spiritists in the land. But he says there has to be somebody still out there. So he made an inquiry. Isn't there still a medium out there? And they said, well, yeah, there's a witch in Endor. You remember that story? Make this long story then short since you know it. He goes down there and he literally says, I need you to conjure up the spirit of Samuel who had died. You know? It says in your Bible that God knew this was going to happen. Saw into Saul's heart. And rejected him that he would even consult the other side when he realized God was not with him. David? Huh. David, just the opposite. David was called what? A man after God's own heart. Hey, we taught on Wednesday night about how, you know, David loved the presence of the Lord. He honored the presence of the Lord. I mean to tell you, there was not a man that was happier to have God's Spirit with him than David. And why? Because he was a man after God's own heart. That gives you a clue, an inkling of what it means to be a man after God's own heart. When you love the presence of God, when you value, when you honor, when you cherish, when you desire God being with you. This was David. This is why God said he's a man after my own heart. He wanted to be with God. That's what his desire was. His greatest desire was to be with God. And oh man, was God happy with that. I mean to tell you, you want to please God, you just desire his presence. You seek his presence. You want to make God dance over you. This is how you do it. You begin to cherish him. You begin to honor him. You begin to value the presence of God, the Holy Spirit that you have. And buddy, God is pleased. Amen? We said on Wednesday night, old David finally got the ark back to Jerusalem. You know, the Philistines had stolen it. And there's a great funny story about the dagon and the statue breaking and everything. But anyway, they finally got the ark back, to make a long story short. And David is so happy that he strips off his royal robes and he has the linen ephod on that the priests wore in ministering. He's humbling himself, in other words. You know, he's humbled before the Lord. But not just humbled, he's happy. Oh, happy doesn't even do it. That dude is dancing with all his heart. This was a burly guy. I mean, this was a man's man. This was a, you know, a courageous, powerful leader. This was a man who's mighty men gathered around. And And there he is. He's celebrating, dancing before the Lord, singing his heart out. And his wife, Michal, looks out the window and sees the king. You know, she despised him. Now, she should have been just as excited as he was about the ark coming back. It should have had a relationship with the Lord. Instead, she despised David. What are you doing? She finally gets up to the king's chambers. What are you doing making a fool of yourself like that? David says, you ain't seen nothing yet. I will make even more of a fool of myself if that's what it means to worship my God. Because I don't care what people think. There was a difference between David and Saul. Saul only cared about what people thought. David cared about what the Lord thought. And that's what it means to honor the presence of God. Even when David sinned with Bathsheba. Psalm 51, if you don't know this, make a note of it. Psalm 51 is the psalm that David wrote after he had sinned with Bathsheba. And in Psalm 51, there's a powerful verse. And here's what it says. Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You see, in that psalm, it's a revelation of what was most important to God, to David. David was even okay with losing the kingdom to Absalom for a time, which he did. But the one thing that David begged the Lord not to do was take his Holy Spirit from him. The one thing that David valued more than anything was the presence of God. Yes, he sinned. He got lazy, lethargic. He was older in life. Peace on all sides. When the kings finally did go out to war in the spring, he stayed behind, which was what he shouldn't have done, by the way. You know that. Gets up on the roof. You know the story of Bathsheba. David repented, and the Lord said, I have forgiven your sin. You know why? Because David was truly sorry. When David poured out his heart in Psalm 51, and God heard him say those words, Lord, please take not thy Holy Spirit from me. God said, okay. He's still my man. He's still after my own heart. Yeah, he sinned. But I have chosen to forgive him. The church, let's take and apply this to our lives today. In the new covenant, we have the greatest gift of all. We have God's presence inside of us, living within us. But I got to tell you what, we get so filled with spiritual junk food that it deadens our craving for the things of God. I tell you the truth. You know what I'm talking about. In the physical, junk food will take your craving away for the good things. In the spiritual, it works the same way. You get trying to put anything else in the place of God, and it deadens your desire, your craving for the things of God. Are you hearing me? We have the most powerful, greatest treasure inside of us, inside these jars of clay. Lives the living God. the presence of God, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of guidance, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of strength and power for living, the Spirit of love that wants to touch your heart that you may begin to love back. And the Scripture says in Ephesians these words. It's a plea. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. You know the unpardonable sin, right? Every other sin able to be forgiven. But when you blaspheme the presence of God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, grieving the very Spirit that filled you, you grieve God's Spirit when you continue in unrepented sin over and over and over and over and over again until one day you feel no more remorse, you feel no more conviction, and on that day you're done. Hebrews chapter 6, right? It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to their to repentance, because of their to their loss, they're crucifying the Son of God all over again. Listen. You are not there, or you wouldn't be here. I know that. But this word is there for us so that we sometimes need shocked into realizing we're not valuing God, we're not honoring Him the way we should within us. I know you have not grieved away the Holy Spirit. You know you haven't, because you wouldn't be here. You would not feel any compulsion to worship God. You would not feel any remorse for any wrongdoing. No, you haven't grieved away the Spirit of God. But that doesn't mean you haven't grieved Him. But now is our opportunity to hear a word like this, a hard word, I know, but to say to the Lord, Lord, I know that You're speaking to my heart. I know it. And I know, like that song that we sing, I'm coming back to the heart of worship because it's all about You. I know, Lord, that I have relegated You to a lower place in my life than I should have. And today, Lord, I want to fix that. I want to ask You to come and take that throne again, because I want to make You the most important thing in my life. I want to honor Your presence within me. I want to be back in tune with You. I say unto You, Lord, bring me back. And church, I really believe that God's speaking to someone more than just me today. So as Doug plays this song, I want you to come. And if you're willing, I want you to tell God, I want You back on the throne, in the highest place of my life. I love You, Lord. Let this song truly be what I feel when I leave here today. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. Help me, Lord. Help me know You're here. The altar's open, church.